Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and we're live. My name is Eric Oakes, and the show is The NUE Show, or Nations United Universal Educators. Today, I would like to set the intention to share some real experiences and to share how we see with these real experiences and some of the references that we use to see more clearly and to become more aware. I'm uncertain if anyone is in the studio with me at the moment because I do not have my computer in front of me to monitor the studio, but if anyone is here joining me in the studio, please feel free to
introduce
yourself.
Well, I was going to take it up to the 19th floor, but no, it's okay. Go ahead and use it. I'll do something else.
Okay. Hello.
Somebody's
hi, Eric.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Tim's here.
Who was that? Tim, Val, I think I heard you, Tim.
Yeah. And Claudia,
yeah.
Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I have to stop for a few minutes, and we'll rejoin in just a few minutes.
Okay, great. Take your time. Take your time. Thank you for joining me, all of you. Thank you. So I guess I'll just get started then. I would like to start, actually, with a real experience I had this morning. This was in the physical. So is everyone okay with me just going ahead and start? Did anybody want to say anything first? Okay, I'll take that silence as an agreement that I can go ahead. So this morning when I re-woke up in the physical after an extensive real side experience, I recorded it and then I decided to sing The New You. And I was singing it on the bed. And then I was kind of feeling uncomfortable. I wasn't really getting into the groove of it. So, you know, my awareness reminded me, hey, you can sing it outside. So I step outside into the backyard, and I sit down, and I begin singing The New You. And I set the intention to, like Claudie said she does yesterday, I set the intention to sing to the nature around me. So I set the intention to sing to the grass, to the trees that I saw, to the little crawly critters, to the bugs, and all the animals. And just to all the life that could hear me in the vicinity. So as I'm singing The New You, I received this impression from two of the trees that were near me in the vicinity. And the impression was that after I was done singing, that this morning I should go into the forest. And I got an image of one of my favorite forests that I like to go into around the area I live in. I'm in New Jersey, by the way, if anyone was interested. I got the impression to go into the forest because there was something that nature wanted to impart with me. And they also told me to bring my wooden katana. Recently, maybe like 2 months ago or so, I bought a wooden katana just to like practice and play around with, just part of old interest. So at first, I felt that the impression to bring the katana was my personal self, because sometimes I like to bring it into the woods just to practice around the swing. But then I thought, well, all right, I'll bring it anyway. So as I'm going along, I get into the forest, and I'm walking along. And as I'm walking along, I'm wondering, I have the katana with me, and I'm wondering why I got the impression to bring it with me, and it was clear as day. It was like, this represents one of your major tap lines. I was like, oh, well, all right. Okay. So as I continue to walk along, I get the impression to stop along the path and to stare at this grove of trees. And this grove of trees is growing out of like deep, deep underbrush or bush, and the grass is tall, and like there's a whole bunch of fibrous plants. And you can't really see any like through it. It's super thick. I get the impression to stop there, and then I get the impression to let go of this tap line. And So I look the wooden katana up, and I look at it, and I see what it represents, and I state this out loud. And it basically represents, it was a part of the natural environment that was taken to and refashioned into a weapon. Nothing beneficial, just people can have any ideas that they want about this stuff. But what it really is, it was a part of the natural environment that was taken and refashioned into a weapon. And the tap line was partly all of the lifetimes and ideas and obsessions with like martial arts and strength and power and all that aggression and stuff. That's what this katana represented. And I got the impression to just let it go. And so I took the katana and I swung it deep into the underbrush, and it just disappeared. And then I get the impression, don't you feel a lot lighter now? It's like, I really do. So I continued walking along, and I walk deeper into the forest, and I come upon a little grove, a little more private grove that most people that come into this forest don't really traverse around. So I go into the grove, and I sit down, and I place my things down, and I sing the new you for a little bit, and then I get the impression to sit in the middle of the grove, and I sit, and there's a little patch of sunlight, and I sit, and I begin singing the new you, and I ask the forest, I send this question out. I ask the forest what it is that they wanted to impart to me today. And so I got a stream of impressions and information from the forest itself, from the trees and all the plant life and stuff around me. And I did a little write-up, so bear with me. I'm going to open it. So this I have marked as lesson one from the forest. And the main subject of this lesson was the interconnectedness and the system of support that the forest has. So I asked the forest and trees to share with me how they all work together and support each other. It began like this. As I gazed up at the tall trees, I learned that the tall trees love the light of the sun, and they grow tall to be closer to it. And the smaller plants that grow around the trees that don't grow as tall, they like the sun, but not so much, so they grow close and short to the trees. And these are like the thin, stalky plants, like the really thin ones, like the herbaceous plants. And so they grow closer to the trees to like, grow in the shade and stuff like that. And then as I'm gazing around, I'm just receiving more impressions, and I look at the ground, and I get the impression that the little plants that grow in the ground and the microorganisms, they prefer the cool darkness of the ground and the moistness of the ground more so than like the bright sun. And what was it? So, and right. So the tall trees grow tall, and because they like the light of the sun. And the plants that grow around the trees grow smaller because they don't like it as much. They prefer the shade. And then there are plants that grow underneath the ground because they prefer the cool darkness of the ground. But all of these plants, they're all interconnected. So, like, and the insects as well. So, like, the shorter, more herbaceous ones, they provide pollen and sustenance for, like, the little pollinators, the insects, the birds, the bees and stuff. But the birds and the bees also provide like a system of transport for these pollinators, so they spread their seeds around so more can grow. And the plants that grow underneath the ground, they regulate the soil and the nutrients in the ground so that the above ground plants that grow can have the proper nutrients and stuff. And as I'm gazing around, I noticed the little leaf, and I was wondering. And the impression came to me that as the seasons change, the trees shed their leaves, and nothing is wasted. Nothing is wasted. The trees shed their leaves, and the leaves break down and replenish the soil with more nutrients for the microorganisms. And as the microorganisms die, they replenish the trees and all the other above-ground plants. And yeah, and even the rocks. So I was looking at the landscape, of the trees and how the roots are growing over the hills. And even the rocks are part of this. So, like, even the rocks, they provide stability to the soil and to the structure of the ground for everything to grow upon, like a nice foundation for everything. It keeps everything together. And so, right, so I thank the trees for this, and they asked me to sing the new you for them. So I sang the new you for about five, seven minutes, and they thanked me. And they imparted the impression to me to come every morning before I leave here, which is about, it's going to be what, 14 mornings, because I'm going to be here for about 2 more weeks. And they asked me to come every morning because they have something to impart to me every single morning. And I said, well, thank you, I will. And that was part of my experience. So as I was walking out of the forest, I also looked to my left, and I saw a fallen tree. It had cracked from the trunk. This is a very big tree. It had cracked from the trunk, it had fallen over. And I got the impression that that the tree had fallen during one of the storms that had recently passed, one of the bad storms. And that even the body of the tree is not wasted, because as the body dies, it returns everything of it to the earth to provide for the forest as a whole, so that the whole forest can thrive. So even when a tree falls, it's not necessarily a bad thing, because the forest still utilizes what's there. And so I'm walking out of the forest, and then I got another impression from the tree. And then the impression I got, this was because I was looking at some of the much larger ones, very old ones, and the impression I got from the forest was that all of their elder trees are gone. So even the oldest trees that are thought to be, these aren't even the oldest trees that have been here on this planet. And I believe my friend Henry actually knows more about that, but that was my real experience from this morning that I wanted, and the animal natural environment wanted me to share with everyone. Sorry, that's a train. So yeah, that's what I got. What do you guys think? Forsky.
Did you say something about Henry? Henry's here. He could respond. He's packing, but he can respond.
Oh, are you here, Henry? Yeah. I didn't know you were in the studio.
Yeah, sorry, Eric. I didn't hear your whole experience. I'm in and out of the room here. But Val put me on the phone.
As I usually do.
So what did you see from the whole experience, Eric?
So what I saw, part of that other impression. Do you recall when us four guys did that video and I was sitting underneath the tree and nature was like, they want all the humans to learn more about it and how it all supports each other and how they all support the world and stuff. So I think this was part of it. The all natural environment is trying to impart more knowledge to me and more how it all supports everything. What I was saying, though, was that as I was walking out of the forest, I was looking at one of the larger trees, and I thought, oh, wow, it must be really old. But then the impression came to me that all of the tree's elders, quote-unquote elders, are gone. Like, even, like, the oldest trees that we think have been here aren't anywhere near the oldest trees. And I was saying that you possibly have more information about that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool, Eric. Your experiences are like fun fantasies that you get to bring through here and share with us. So yeah, it's really cool, and you can write these down, and we're all very much excited to read and see your graphic novel or comic book style book about some of these real side experiences and physical experiences you've had this lifetime, and yeah, it's a real adventure, and yeah, it's really cool. Thanks.
I'll mention something about the forest. This is Tim.
Go ahead, Tim.
The modern logging that takes place here on this West Coast that I've observed in my lifetime is that they come in and they cut the what's called timber down, the marketable trees, and they take the wood that they want out. And then after they've taken all the wood that they want out, they come in with the equipment and they pretty much pile up everything that's left of the forest that's on the ground. This is every living thing, whether it's chipmunks or snails or slugs or anything that lives in the forest and all the brush and under cover, and it's piled up and burnt. So pretty much what is left is a burned up area with a bunch of dirt. And then they come in and they replant it with trees. So about every 10, 12 feet apart. And they figure that, you know, in time that it's going to turn into a forest again. But it is a very devastating way that they treat the forest and every living creature in it. There's no respect for the life of anything that I see when they go to harvest the forest for the material that they want to make their money off of, and of course build with the wood when there's plenty of other things that can be used for building besides wood. Maybe it's fine to harvest the dead wood in the forest, the trees that fall over and the winds and the weight of the snow, and it actually keeps the forest in a good condition to harvest the wood in a natural way, and not trying to just rape and pillage it and then think that by replanting a bunch of little trees that it's going to turn into a forest again someday, because it also makes it so that the fires and things seem to wipe them out anyway, because they're not very big. And a lot of times in with the big timber, a fire can come through and it'll burn its bark and stuff on its stump and up a ways, but they live. But in the modern reforestation, when they replant, then they, when the fire comes through, it kills the replantation again. So then they have to just do it again. But anyway, not only just the forest being treated that way by the what's called logging, then we have all this modern technology trying to destroy the forest with fire, and it's just amazing that the earth has such a big area that was a forest once upon a time, since the last ice age anyway, when everything was covered with ice except around the equator and the Amazon and stuff. And so it all came back to life from the Amazon, because everything else was covered with ice and snow for a long time, it looks like. But modern man doesn't seem to have respect. The masses, it's just a material thing for them to make a living off of, and don't care about the creatures that live in the forest or the forest providing the oxygen that they breathe. And it's just the way this whole world is right now. Seems like some are trying to protect the forest and some trying to regrow forests. And to do that, you have to grow certain things in certain ground in a big area. Certain things won't grow in certain dirt. Forests won't grow in serpentine. And there's other things that it isn't for the forest to live in. It doesn't, but certain places on Earth are where the forests grow healthy naturally. They get a certain amount of water and they get a certain amount of what's needed from the earth. But anyway, yes, to see the difference between when you walk in the forest that's been untouched and there's still some of the redwood timber that's been untouched pretty much, or just the dead wood had been cleaned out. It's such a difference.
Tim, have you noticed any of the salvage logging going on up there in Oregon where they come in and these companies come in and they harvest the dead, burnt wood and it seems to be a very lucrative business these days since there's so many fires. Have you noticed any of that up there, or are they just burning everything like you said earlier on?
No, after the fires in the marketable timber areas, what they do nowadays is that they go in and they cut down what they consider is marketable, the burnt dead timber in certain areas, and then they helicopter log it now, which is the modern way that they take the timber that they want out of the forest pretty much. But that what's going on besides the way they log is that they are doing this brush. It's called slash and burn. And they go into the forest and they cut all the underbrush, which they really don't understand that underbrush is very important for the forests to have their natural moisture held, and the mushrooms and things need that underbrush to live on. When they come in and slash everything down, to what they call it is to prevent forest fires from coming in and killing the forests. They're making it so that many, many parts of the environmental part of the forest is being destroyed that way too. When they come in and they cut the brush that's under the timber and they pile it up and they burn it, they're not realizing that there's the mycelium for the fungi, the mushrooms and things that live in the very earth there and need that underbrush for their habitat, for their amount of light and shade and moisture. And so that in many ways, man keeps interfering with the natural forest in such huge ways. It's being destroyed in many ways. Besides the fires and the logging.
Yeah, the management, the forest management is profit-driven, not driven for the benefit of the environment. Like the trees, the burnt trees, you know, they provide nutrients as they break down, especially carbon for the mycelium, you know, for the soil organisms and food for them. So everything's based on profit, basically, and other things that we know about. So, you know, I was just curious how it is up there. You have a lot of logging up in Oregon, so this is what's going on.
They do the same slash and burn thing over here in New Jersey in the Pinelands. because there's a lot of underbrush, and they just go in and burn. But there's, like, natural forest fires that occur periodically, though, like, along a natural, like, rhythm, whenever the forest needs to clear it, you know what I mean? But, yeah, mankind is truly unaware on so many different levels, just interfering with the natural way of things.
Yeah, Eric, those that are in control of how the forest is managed go to what you call universities, and it is pretty much like Val was saying, they're just taught in the universities how to make money off the forest. They're not too concerned about, unless a certain amount of people complain enough, to like about spotted owls and things in their habitat. If there weren't certain people putting up enough resistance, there doesn't seem like they'd leave anything for any of the creatures. All there'd be left is just whatever the they consider parks that you have to pay to go to be even in a forest that isn't been wiped out.
There is yet a book I have to read. It's I think it was called 1492 when supposedly Columbus came to the Americas. But the book covers how the Indians managed the environment. They actually did forest management, wilderness management, but it didn't look like it was managed. They did it naturally and made sense with not destroying the ecosystem, but actually just, you know, doing things here and there, tweaking things. So they understood how nature works, and they assisted it, and nature assisted them by providing their food and water. So there's other ways of doing this and what's being done right now.
Yeah, the Indians too knew of the natural cycles of the, like Eric was mentioning, the fire and stuff. And they would burn the underbrush themselves too, because they seen that after it is burnt, they would harvest, like the morels come up after the fires when the underbrush is been burnt. So they have the habitat for them to live, and they would harvest them. But the difference being is when you have a natural fire going through the forest and burning the underbrush and stuff, it leaves the living timber and the shade and their roots of a lot of the underbrush. It grows back up naturally, but what they're doing now after logging is that they scrape everything away into piles and burn it that way. So, and then they stick trees in just the exposed dirt that's left after their equipment is totally scraped the surface of where the forest was. So there's no roots hardly or anything like that to grow the underbrush back around their reforestation of planting little trees to try to turn it back into a forest. That does work in certain places on Earth because of the soil and the amount of moisture they get. Like up in Washington in the west side of the Cascades, timber, it wouldn't matter what you did to it, it would just come back thicker than ever. It's just the way it is. The habitat's so good for growing the timber. It's kind of like hair on a person's head. You can cut it off, and here it comes right back for a lot of people. And that's how it is in certain areas on the earth. It will come back naturally and plentifully, but in other areas, once they wipe it out, it's been hard for it to exist in the first place, and then it won't come back at all. Like here in our wilderness, it was untouched for many miles to the coast, the Calamiopsis wilderness, and it had all the virgin timber, the Port Orford cedar and the fir and the pine and the oak and the maples and We have a giant mixture of trees. But what happens is that what it has a terrible forest fire that kills all the timber. Then there's no seed left to regrow the forest like it was ever again. Or maybe it would take more than centuries, thousands of years, for the seeds to be put in the right places and things by birds and whatever, because certain trees have to have water constantly, like the Port Orford cedar, and others, they can live in a drier climate like the pines and the firs. They're kind of in between. They need quite a bit of water, but not as much like of the trees that have to have it continuously. But anyway, it's just this planet in so many ways is looking like there's going to be very little of it left that's natural. And some of it already isn't like it was some centuries ago, that certain species don't exist anymore. And I guess that's all part of this material realm, all these things we experience here, how people treat the earth and the forest and the water and the air and the food.
And as we know, the chemtrails, too, are disturbing the character of the soil. The fires are burning hotter because of the aluminum and the metals in the chemtrails. So everything's being disrupted, the natural cycles of things. If they were left alone, they could recover by themselves, because nature is wonderful that way, but we're not letting it recover. Purposely, this is being purposely done to nature, so that it's being destroyed, manipulated, and distorted. That's why
they're really good at it.
They're scientists.
Yeah. Well, isn't it like the reptilians want to turn this place into a habitat for them, and they could care a little about humans or other animals and things that exist here on this earth? It just seems like if the planet Mars was once like Earth, and the planet Venus was once like Earth and habitable, and look at the difference that we see and how this is going to be if it continues to be made into a place for reptilians to live on this human farming prison planet.
Yep.
It's just like, no matter how much we put out effort to restore this world to be natural and to provide clean air and clean water and clean food, they seem to have the power to just plain make it not happen or destroy it, which they're doing right now in many ways. They're destroying it, and what can we do about preventing it from being destroyed? It doesn't seem to be that we have the power to prevent them from destroying it. They have all their minions doing their work.
It's a daunting task.
But I guess it's lessons.
Yes, it's daunting, but we are offsetting it in our own way by helping people become more aware. And that's really the only way it's going to happen, is people wake up to what's going on and really see for what is really going on in front of them. And that is huge too, but it's why we're here.
Is this the way that we learn humility and gratitude and purity and sincerity, by finding out the opposite of them? Because that seems to be what's going on in this physical.
Could be one way, yes. Comparisons.
It seems like the forest, if we could communicate better with it, would be able to have an idea, maybe better than us humans, about how to take care of itself. If it was just left alone, it would pretty much be a lot better, because it just seems like we have other things that are provided that we can use that don't affect our air and water and food. There's plenty of rock on Earth to build with, and other materials too. Metals or anyway, it's just how it is right now in this psych realm to experience all these experiences. I guess we need them.
Well, one of the cool things is that we're creating a new position that everyone can recognize and take part in. One of the projects that we're implementing on this earth, the Total Universal Rainforest, a project for everyone, and Henry is putting together a business plan now, where you get a piece of land and, we work the land and we like plant a forest, plant a food forest for everyone that can provide for everyone, that supports the all natural environment itself and everything that it's a part of. But I think that's one of the cool things about what it is that we're doing, actually, is that instead of not necessarily confronting all of the problems, rather facing it and then deciding something better from it. And then, of course, it takes agreement to implement some of the larger projects here in the physical. But, we're just along the process of, I guess, acquiring that agreement, really. But I think that's one of the cool things that we're doing, is creating a new position. And here's another new position. If any forest, ocean, environmental rangers out there are hearing this broadcast, here's a new position you can learn to recognize, and that's the position of a new ranger. And a new ranger is one that learns how to support the all-natural environment better and in a way that is more natural to it than all of this manipulation and destruction for profit and things like that. Yeah.
And we do have associations. We have Mr. John King, who Tim and I interviewed on one of our shows. He's like a ranger. He's like an environmental naturalist who's up in Mount Jacinto, which is one of the mountains here in Southern California, Eric. Well, in the Southern California range, he voluntarily goes up and reports on the weather conditions. There's snow up there much of the year. So he reports on the snow levels, the trail conditions, because the hikers use the mountain. And he does this voluntarily and reports to the National Weather, NOAA, or whoever the National Weather organization is, and they use his information. But he's just doing this voluntarily, and he helps people out sometimes in rescue operations when they get stuck up there. So these are the kind of people will be, if they agree to something, basically he's working right now for the weather people too, NOAA and, what is it, the other big one starts with an R. They're basically bought off, the weather people have a gag order, so they can't report about the chemtrails and what's really going on with the geoengineering and the planet. But he's an independent, and there's other people like that. And even maybe some of the weather people will turn, the so-called, take the chance and and you know, do something that makes sense with their lives and with the environment. And we will have opportunities for people to so-called have a lifestyle with, you know, financially and otherwise. So eventually this will happen so that they can come into this and be supported totally in all aspects of their lives.
Yes, that sounds really awesome. That's cool that he does that on his own time. That's really cool. So if anyone wants to know how it is that we all connect to the all-natural environment and how it is that we receive these impressions, one of the ways that I connect, and I'm sure everyone here does, is that we sing a sound, and the sound is the real connection to the all-natural environment, to the whole of life itself, and it goes like, or any personal variation of that that you feel is natural for you. And it's wonderful. The trees love it. The bees love it. Even kids love it. It's fantastic. And it is one of the ways that I have learned to communicate better with the environment around me, the nature around me. And I will definitely have more lessons from the forest for everyone. That I'll be sharing. Does anyone else have any real set experiences they'd like to share with all of us that they recently had? No, yes, maybe so.
I don't have any recent ones, Eric.
Okay, well, that's all right. Well, if anyone else would like to say anything, that'd be cool. Or I can just make some announcements. If anyone else has anything they'd like to share.
Do you have any reports or updates on Africa, Eric?
What'd you ask, Phil?
Do you have any updates on Africa?
Well,
Africa, yeah.
No, but I do see that more Africans are singing and sharing the new you. So if I can work out a way to bring them onto the show just so they can share their experiences, I will surely do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'll mention that Dwayne Hepner has New Adventure Is books available at lulu.com. In one place he writes, "What is taking place today on Earth and many other round worlds is the effects from all the causes the reptilian aliens, lords, have created."
Yeah, that's very real. Everyone listening can find out more, and you can also purchase the Adventurer series, the new books that Tim just mentioned, on our main website, wonderfulworldwideeducators.com. You can also find out more information about one of the big projects that we're doing here for the planet Earth at turfclub.club. That's Total Universal Rainforest. Turfclub.club. You guys can also purchase some awesome, awesome, awesome water to support your physical bodies, to support your plants, your animals, anything that loves water. You can purchase some great water at New Wave Water. newwavewater.club, if I am remembering the end correctly. Newwavewater.club. Fantastic water. Amazing. And we also have shows throughout the week on Zoom. Feel free to message me on Facebook at Eric Oak for times, or you can find the schedule on wonderfulworldwideeducators.com. Some of my friends here also have radio shows throughout the week. If they'd like to announce their shows, feel free.
Well, I go on Facebook Live on Friday nights at 8 and Thursday nights at 6. And then every other week we have the Creative Literal Sides show on Blog Talk Radio, Sundays at 1. And I know Tim has something going on too.
Yeah, Wednesdays at 2 o'clock in the afternoon Pacific time, Blog Talk show about the new presentation.
Awesome. There's also a new show that directly precedes this one on Mondays, and that is Edward Reedhead's show. I think he was calling it The All Lives and Its Princes and Princesses. And there, we also go live on Facebook, on YouTube. You can find more videos, so much information on YouTube. Just YouTube search Kelsey Lynn Brown or New Kevin Smith. That's NU Kevin Smith. They should be the first results that pop up. Fantastic videos that they've all made and edited. That's amazing real knowledge and real references for everyone. You can also find us on Facebook, Eric Oak, Kelsey Lynn Brown, Henry Draper, Tim and Val. We're all on Facebook here, ready to share with everyone. I didn't hear Claudia earlier. Is Claudia back? Would you like to share anything, Claudia?
Claudia never made it back.
Oh, well, that's
talking
okay.
With
I understand. Yes, there's a lot going on here. There's a lot that we're doing for not only the Earth, but all of creation, because it's time. Life has decided that it is time to be new and to be real. If that's it for today, I think I'll end the show here today. If anyone would like to say some last-minute things or anything, if not, we can start the new year and we can end the show.
Yeah, thanks for having the show, Eric. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. I just mentioned that the end result is what matters. It's not about leadership. It's about awareness.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like I told some of the other individuals that are just coming into this, just finding mini presentations, I've told them sometimes, when I've shared, like, ideas, one person was like, oh, that sounds like a great idea. I don't want to step on your toes or anything because it's your idea. And I'm like, I don't care. What I care about is sharing the real knowledge and assisting everyone in becoming more aware. If you see a way to do this better, then by all means, go ahead. I know that's not the point. I'm not in it for any fame or fortune or anything like that. We're just sharing what's real now for everyone. So, if that's it, I'll start the new year. Everyone can chime in if they'd like.
New you. See ya.
Thank you, everyone, for joining
Thank
me.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Did you get Eric's real sight experience?
No, I couldn't understand. He's unclear.
Yeah.
He's got to get in a better place.
And slow down.
Slow down, yeah.
Pronunciate.